We're in a teaching series called The Life of Christ, and it is interesting in teaching, really, the series The Life of Christ, because really, from a scriptural standpoint, we do have a very limited look at his life. Mostly, we're looked at his ministry. The Bible deals with his ministry and not his life. In fact, from his birth, the time of his birth, we don't see anything till he was 12 years old. And when he was in the temple and with the rabbis and stuff. But in that incident, from 12 years old, we don't hear about him until he's 30 years old. We don't have record of him. So really, his life is the area of ministry that we look at. So there's a lot that we don't really know about him or what he did in between. We know his father was a carpenter, and so he was, there was common, the children would be raised as in the, whatever their father was doing, usually is what along the line that they did. But there's one thing, we can learn a lot of things, you know, about his character, things that would be very good for us. And one of the things we're going to look at tonight is we're dealing with Jesus. Jesus was the Messiah. This is the important thing, as we'll find from a scripture standpoint. The teaching and stuff that the disciples did was they went out and preached after his resurrection and his ascension. They preached that Jesus was the Christ. We don't do that usually in the church. People talk about Jesus as a Savior, but Jesus must be the Christ or the Messiah. That is the fulfillment of Scripture, and that proves of who he is. And, you know, you could call a person a Savior or anything like that. And we looked in the fact, because we looked at other religions, they have their, what they call Messiah. They have theirs. But Jesus is a fulfillment of the Scriptures. So we look at the Bible, we can find out that Jesus, and that there's one thing you need to know. In fact, if we look at the disciples, they didn't have the New Testament. Those are the people that wrote the New Testament. So when they preached Jesus, the Messiah, from the Old Testament. That's what they preach from. A lot of people today, and even ministers today, if you ask them to preach Jesus from the Old Testament, they can't do it. They couldn't do that. But the whole fact of it is, he is the fulfillment of what the Old Testament said about the Messiah. If he's not, then he's not who he said he was. So it's really important in those things. As we go along in knowing these things. But one of the things we want to look at is the fact of, we're going to find about Jesus. Jesus didn't blow his own horn. People do that a lot today. You know, we have, there was, you know, made mention of certain things about titles we were talking about before coming in. People really love the announcement of their titles. They love the announcement of it. Jesus didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. I like to think that Kenneth Hagin, I learned from him, was the fact he said, you can put any label you want on an empty can. It doesn't put anything in it. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of empty cans today that only have labels. What is important for anybody, and I want to tell you this as Christians, it isn't important that somebody names what your ministry is or you name it. It's whether you do it. That's what's important. It isn't important by its name.
Amen.
You know, over time, I've seen people, they call themselves certain things, but I can tell they're not gifted to do that. You know? And so you need to understand that. You need to do what you're gifted to do, not pick a title. It doesn't matter what my title is. What matters if I can stand in the office and I can walk in it. You know, and so God gives us gifts. It didn't say he gives us titles. So people usually like that, the title thing. And especially, you know, I've gone along with people, I've seen people many times that operate in ministries, and they never really have said over the years much about a title of who they are. But I can see in them, they stand in it. I even see lay people who have certain gifts that sometimes don't even realize themselves that they walk and live in an area of gift in their life. And they don't really have a title on it, but I can see that they walk in certain areas of their life, and you can see they're gifted in certain things. And you see that about people. And, you know, I more appreciate the people who are doing something in something than going around and saying they're something. So it's a very much important thing. But in fact, in Jesus dealing with his title, we had mentioned this before. In the Gospel of John, in the 4th chapter, Jesus met a woman at the well of Samaria. One thing about this woman is, being a Samaritan, the Jews hated the Samaritan. The Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans. Yet this woman, Jesus, reveals himself to her as the Messiah. Yet we don't have, generally, from the Jews' standpoint, he didn't really reveal himself as the Messiah till the time of his crucifixion. He didn't do it. There's reasons for that. And there's things that we need to understand. As we go along and look at this, you're going to find this out. God cannot move among us more than we allow him to.
That's right.
See, you know, when people, you know, make up these things, they say, well, God can, you know, that God can just go do anything and God's in control of everything. No, he's not. If God was in control of everything, it's like one man said, well, he sure made a mess of a lot of stuff. If he's in control, is he responsible for everything that goes on? You know, if I'm driving down the road and I'm in control and I run into a telephone pole, you know, I can't get out and say something else, you know. Somebody else made me do it, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, God was in control. He grabbed the steering wheel and ran me off into that tree. And it's, see, we need to worry, because we're going to find out what Jesus' ministry as we go on in this. We're going to see why he didn't run around telling everybody he's the Messiah. Is number one, we know that there was people who recognized that he was the Messiah. He didn't have to run around and tell them. See, they noticed. If you, it's one thing about spiritual gifts. If you're spiritual, you'll recognize a spiritual gift.
That's right.
If you're not, you won't recognize it. It's very simple. It's not hard to figure this stuff out. It's like anything in life, you know. If people if you're trained or educated in a certain area, you can tell, you'll know certain things. If somebody's not, they might not catch on to that at all, which is normal to you. Well, from a spiritual standpoint, it's identical. It's no difference. As a person from the standpoint of spirituality understands things, they'll spot and know things in people. And, you know, this is why we've had so many people like guess about over the years. I know from the time I was a kid, back in the 50s, during 1950s, the healing revivals and all that, people were picking who the Antichrist was back then, just like they do today. You know, this person's the Antichrist, this person's the Antichrist. And what, you know, they're all been wrong. Everybody's been wrong. So, and everybody who's picked when Jesus is coming back has all been wrong, you know. And because people really don't get spiritual enough to know to really identify things. And one thing you can notice, and anybody should notice, that we're in a day and time, especially today, the spirit of Antichrist is very strong. And so just because you see people yielded to it, people yield to spirit, they yield to that spirit, doesn't mean they're the Antichrist, but they yield to that spirit. John said in his day, writing to in 1 John, he talked about the spirit of Antichrist was present at that time, and he talked about it in people. So we see those things. And so we see with Jesus comes along in his ministry. Now this woman at the well of Samaria, there's one thing that was very impressive concerning her, and I really believe is why Jesus revealed it to her. Because she was really looking for the Messiah. Because in John, the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter, and in verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So, in other words, he revealed it. In other words, she was looking for it. She expected, and she said, this Messiah comes, was going to give us all the answers. Now, think about this. Jesus is among the religious people of his day, the Jews. The Jews were the covenant people. And their leaders killed him. In other words, the Messiah comes along. Now, if you'd ask them about the Messiah, oh, they'd say, yeah, they wanted the Messiah come. But in reality, they didn't. The Messiah comes. They were not going to give up their leadership to nobody. You know, it's the same. People do that today. You know, there's people today, they don't want to come to Christ. They don't want anybody else, something speaking into their lives. They don't want it. You know, I was a sinner. I wanted my life.
That's right.
Until my life got so out of hand. And I decided I wanted something else. But see, people do, you know, we don't like to think like people are like that, but generally many people are, you know. They don't want, even see Christians, you know, they want to be saved in a sense. I want life insurance, but I really don't want the guy who insures my life. I don't want him messing with my life. I want to make my own choices. I want to do my own things. And, we need to be careful in those areas. I believe this lady was just completely sincere about the fact. You know, here she was. Now, she was a woman who she had been married a number of times. She's living with a guy. See, this is one thing as people, you know, we need to understand this about from a standpoint of spirituality. You can't recognize somebody who's really after God necessarily just because they go to church or they do this. You can't. You can't judge. She didn't, but yet she was more open to things of Jesus than all these religious people were.
That's right.
She was more open to it. So understand that dealing with people, I know with myself, is the fact of, I've learned this over the years. Right before I got saved, I went through one of the times I was really going through. I was sort of a very miserable time, and it was one of the reasons why God was dealing with me. And so don't ever take that an individual you think because they're getting worse. They may be better off than you. They may be heading more toward God than you are. I see many times Christians and, this person's acting like this or that. Well, maybe you know why. No, we just criticize. We don't know why. We just complain about it. They may be heading, God deals with people. As I find Christians, some of the most miserable Christians I ever met, it's because God's dealing with them. I had a really good, we were Bible school, we had instructor, and she was really good in the area. She taught a lot of things on the areas of prayer and stuff. She was very good. And she made how God corrected her. She said there was an individual, this one guy that worked there with the ministry also. And she said, you know, he was sort of getting sort of hard to get along with about certain things and stuff. And she said, she began to complain about him a lot, you know, to God about this guy. And the Lord spoke to her and said to her, you let him alone. He said, I'm dealing with him because he's going to have to do some major things for me. And he said, it's not easy to make the transition. And he said, he's finding it very difficult. He said, he don't need you and you're bugging him. she said, I've thought about that. I always think about that. We need to be very careful about, you know, people can be going through things. And we wonder why. They're going through some things. And so it's like with Jesus, you know, I don't know what it'd be like. We would think from the standpoint of Jesus, especially in the standpoint, you would talk about difficulty concerning ministry. You and I, even though we're born again, children of God, we have the nature of God, but yet we're still fallible. It's hard for us to understand, you know, Jesus didn't have the sin nature. He didn't have it at all. He never sinned. Which means he didn't just, we got a perfection by faith.
Yes.
We became righteous by faith. Not righteous by, you didn't perform righteousness. You got it free. Jesus did it.
Amen.
As a human being, he lived in the earth sinless. Can you imagine from the standpoint of walking and you're living in this imperfect world perfect? Boy, if you want somebody to want to complain about people. Instead, he died for him. It's a phenomenal thing about it. And think about it. He walked as a human. He didn't walk in this earth as God. Because if he walked in this earth as God, then he's not a savior. He don't know what my life's like. He ain't got a clue. Amen. He walked as a man. And walking as a man in perfection. And in this life, there'd be great difficulty because you're carrying out a ministry toward people, and the majority of the people who are under the covenant that God sent you to save are against you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all saying they're looking for you. So, you know, those things. And if you go in and look at the Bible and try to, you know, let the Holy Spirit show you beyond, these things can really help you live out your life, is to understand those things here and that stuff. Everything in life is not going to be nice. You know, the life of faith is not a life of luxury and just listen, and nothing bad's going to happen or anything like that. It is not that at all. It's not, you know, you're not going to have any trouble. I guarantee you, when I got saved, I gave up certain troubles for new ones. You know,
amen.
There's ones that you pick up because you're going to walk by faith and stuff. I found out that, I was running cross-grained to all the people that before that I was, that were all, yeah, well, they liked Ed the way he was. And now he's changed. He isn't what he was. And it's sure they aren't happy with it because, it makes them feel guilty. They don't like that, you know.
That's right.
You know, they don't, they, you know, nobody likes to feel guilty, you know. We all want to feel it was just wonderful, and you know, somebody comes along and they're like, but you know, there's a lot of things that go along with this in this life and making choices. You have to make stands many times that is not popular with everybody else. I found out how to make stands even weren't popular with Christians. But you have to do it. You got to walk what God's called you to do, not what somebody thinks you ought to do.
Amen.
You know, and, it's just like Jesus, you know. He comes, he's the Savior of the world. And they ain't happy what he's doing. I mean, he's running around healing people and carrying, they're mad at that. They ain't happy about nothing. You ever run into people like that? They ain't happy with nothing. But this woman, and you know, the fact of it is, you know, God knows if we're real or not.
Yes.
He knows if you and I are real or we're pretending. You know, he knows that. If he's never dealt with you in that, you need to get to know him close enough that he deals with you in those things.
Amen.
You know. You know, God is not happy if we live a fake life. It's not, you know. Many times, Christian lives dual lives. They have a life that they live with other Christians, and they have a different life when the Christians ain't around. Loads of people. They have different language they talk when they're away from Christians. When around Christians, they talk certain ways, they do certain things. But they get around other people, they're talking something else. They're acting other ways and that stuff around. And that stuff, they live those dual lives. You might do that and that stuff, but I'm going to tell you what, it'll affect your spirituality terribly. You know, you can be what you are. I think the world looks at you better to be honest to what you are rather than putting a fake on, you know. If anybody's going to spot a fake, they will. You know, hey, us fakes, when I was a sinner, us fakes, we could pick a fake out in a minute. We knew how to do it, man. And we were good at it. We didn't want some Christian come along trying to do it, say, come on, you ain't good at it. But Jesus Christ revealed it, and it's amazing when you see, though, that this woman, a Samaritan, that he openly tells her, and we find out that she went back, and if you're going to read the story, she went back into town, told the people about it, and they come out, and they found out that this guy, hey, he's what he said he is. And in fact, when we go on to it, you go into the book of Acts, and Philip went to that same Samaria, and a big move of God. He couldn't get a big move of God in Jerusalem, but he went out to Samaria. Here they were. They accepted the Messiah. Jerusalem don't accept the Messiah. Mm. See, understand these things out here today. You know, we're living in these last days. I just want to tell you, there's nations out here that people are really looking down on and stuff and things like that. You're going to see great moves of God in those nations where Jesus returns. You're going to see great moves of God. See, be very careful about how you look at, you know, what you see going on in places. God's moving in things.
Amen.
And we need, you know, many times we look at, it's number one, as I learned a long time ago, I don't pay any attention what the news media says about things in nations and stuff. Because all they're doing, it's all from a political standpoint. I'm going to tell you what, there's more people in nations than politicians. I'm glad America's not like Washington.
Amen.
You know, but you know what? Most people in America, even Christians, measure America after Washington. I'm sorry. Washington is a poor picture. I've been around this nation over the years, this nation and other nations, and one of the most amazing things, nations I've been in, I found out that most of the times the people that I'm around in nations where I've been to are not like people say about this. Oh, you go to this nation and you know this is like this. And I go there and find out they're not like that. You got the news of what news media told you of whatever their government's doing and this and that, but the people aren't like that. You travel around in America, you go out away from all these political junk, and Americans are not like. What's going on out there is not like. If you watch the news, you're seeing like 1% of people and what they do. That's what you're seeing, 1% of this nation. And they make you think that everybody, and you know, this is all like this. One of the greatest dividers of our nation is our news media, and even our politicians are great dividers of the nation. They're trying to divide it. But people out here, a lot of them ain't like that at all. So, one of the things God does, God in His love, He sent His Son, and this Messiah in His life, He's going out among the people, and we find it's really the common people respond to Him. They seem to be the ones who respond to what is going on. In those days, thank God, they were fortunate enough not to have the internet and stuff and things to tell them all the things. They would probably take a pretty long time till you found out certain things happened or something like that. You know, it was, things that were going on. But we want to look at this because when Jesus did reveal Himself to the leaders of Israel at the time of His crucifixion. And we're going to look at those because what He said about Himself at that time. In Matthew 26, in verse 63, I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures. This is Jesus when He was taken before the high priest and them, where they were going, they questioned Him and things. And this is at right before His crucifixion and His really sort of fake trial that they did. In verse 63 it says, "But Jesus kept silent, they were talking to Him." And He says, "And the high priest answered and said to Him, I put you under oath, under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to them, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, however, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." So He announced to them specifically. Now you know they're totally against Him and they're mad. I want you to think about this. Nicodemus, who was in the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus himself in John the 3rd chapter said this. The Sanhedrin is the ruling council of Israel. He is a Pharisee. And he said this. He didn't say, "I know that you're a teacher sent from God." He said, "We do." In other words, the Pharisees knew. What is going on in these things? These people are liars. These are people know that He's the Messiah. They know it. Mm-hmm. Nicodemus says, "We know you're a teacher sent from God because nobody can do the things you do." Now just think about it. All these people, the leaders, they don't have any manifestations of God through them. None. This guy comes along and all the miracles and stuff happening. And you'd think, well, it would say he's something. Wouldn't it? I mean, they didn't have any of these powers. Nicodemus admitted, "Nobody can do the things you do unless God's with them." A lot of difference. You go along ministry. I've had ministers tell me, "Oh, they have this healing and stuff. These faith healers, they're of the devil." I'm sorry. I was involved with sorcery and all this stuff and all that things when I was running. You know, we never had healing meetings. You know, we never had none of that stuff. You know, how many devils? You know, you see that? Hey, the devil's out rubbing a devil meeting tonight. We're gonna, we're gonna heal the sick and raise the dead, and we're gonna. But yet, ministers will stand and say these types of things. They don't recognize. I mean, is the fact of it is? He said, "Nobody can do the things you do unless God's with them." Now recognize that yourself. If God uses you, remember, it's God using you. It's not you.
Amen.
It's God using you.
Amen.
See, we have a choice to be used, and it is only used. The gifts of the Spirit that Paul wrote to in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he said that these gifts, they operate as the Spirit wills, not as you will. You don't have any of those gifts. If you had them, it wouldn't be as the Spirit wills. If you had something, you could use it. You know, I have a car out here, I can get in and drive it. It's mine. No gift. You don't determine it. People say, "Well, I have the gift of this or that." No, you don't. is if the Holy Spirit, this is why we have so many times fake gifts in operation. Fake prophets prophesying when it's not the Holy Spirit. It only operates as the Spirit wills, not as you will. Mm-hmm. As the Spirit wills. This is why as many as are led by the Spirit, not as the many as are led by this or that or whatever else. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit is the leader. We're not.
Amen.
And when it comes to manifestations of the Spirit, we desire the real thing, not fake. You know, we're not to be led by prophets. We're led by the Spirit, not by prophets. We shouldn't be looking for prophets to tell us what we're supposed to do. That's why you have the Holy Spirit in you. That's why you don't need the Holy Spirit in you if you're going to be led by a prophet, by a person. You don't want to go there. People are fallible. God's not. So you always want to get over. Listen to God. Hallelujah. You know, you can hear from Him. You know, God's in you. He's not mute, and you don't want to be deaf. You know, if you say, I don't know if it's God talking to you. Well, you think He wouldn't? The Bible's full of God talking to people. Mm-hmm. And if God don't talk to people, then how do we associate ourselves with the book? How do we do it? We can't do it. God speaks to people. Number one, He's in you. You know, He's not running a room and you don't ever get to know Him. He's in you, and He's in you in the areas of fellowship. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to reveal Jesus Christ to you. If the Bible in itself was enough, you wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. Why would you need a teacher? We just read the book. No, I want to tell you what. There's a revealer of the book.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know, it's one thing, is I always watch this, with television. It always cracks me up because you always have these people on TV, and even sometimes they have these guys, they call them scholars, and they'll use them, and they'll bring up something about the Bible, and 99% of the time they'll misquote. And they'll turn around and say things that the Bible don't even say. And people go along and don't think, why? We have people, just because they have a title, that they're a doctor so-and-so of theology, that don't even mean they're a Christian. There's a lot of empty cans with big labels. And we need to understand this. The Holy Spirit's the revealer of the Word. You don't know the Word just because you read it. If reading the Word would make you know something, everybody would have known Jesus was the Messiah if they read the Old Testament. Simeon knew that Jesus brought in as a baby was the Messiah. Why? The Holy Spirit told him when he was praying. The Scripture tells us. See, the revealer, the Holy Spirit, that's what He's in us for. He brings revelation. He reveals to us. And so this is one thing, is knowing the Holy Spirit. We definitely want to know that. Jesus said that He did not do anything unless He saw the Father do it. And also, if He made statement, if He heard what the Father said He did, or what He saw the Father do. So, His life and ministry, He wasn't running around healing people because He had some great power.
Amen.
He was just like you and I are, an anointing that operates by God through us.
Amen.
You know, we need to understand this. There's no God doesn't put pressure on you to be something. He made you something, and He reveals Himself through you. It's not you trying to reveal Him through you. You're trying to do it. That never works good. It never does.
Amen.
Never works good. You know, I got to change life. I didn't change my life. God did.
Amen.
If I could have changed my life, I wouldn't have needed Jesus.
That's right.
I got to change life because of Jesus Christ. It was His work in me. So I can't take credit as something great that I did because I didn't do that. I didn't gift me to teach. I was not a teacher, definitely. I was not. And in 1983, I got a gift from God on me to teach. And, you know, it really sort of blew my mind when it happened. You know, as things changed, I mean, before, if you would have set me down and said, now I would study the Bible, I'd take notes, but if you asked me about putting teaching together or anything like that, that was work. That was work. And I got this gift, and all of a sudden, I would know things. and I would just know what to do about things. And I recognize this isn't Ed. Well, it couldn't be. Couldn't be me. I'd have had that before. That was me. Well, I wasn't educated to it, you know. It was something that just started to happen in me. It was one of the things the Lord told me. That gift came on me at a meeting I was at out in Oklahoma. When I was flying home from that meeting, I just never forget, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. Come along. He said, you're anointed and don't you ever talk differently. He said, no matter how you feel or what's going on, what's happening, you're anointed. Don't you ever say different. Mm-hmm. Well, see, I found what he's doing is he's helping me. Because see, once you get over, you go through things in life, and after a while, you know, those times will come along, you wonder if you're saved. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell you what, one of the greatest problems that Christians have is they go along and they talk about how they feel rather than what God said. And when times come along and things get tough, things get tougher because they're saying the wrong things about themselves. You know, you're a child of God. You might even blow it. You know, it doesn't matter. You're all a child of God and you don't change what you say. Amen. You never change what you say. Because you'll defeat yourself. It isn't the devil. It's your blab mouth will defeat you. Jesus said, Mark 11:23, you'll have whatever you say. So be at least your own best friend. Talk about yourself. You're a child of God. You know, I didn't become, you know, my mama didn't spank me when I was bad and say, no, you don't belong to me. No, you're still the kid in the family, you know? And we need to understand that. We get as Christians, we get over in this thing and we talk about ourselves as just everybody else. We're not everybody else.
Amen.
We're different people in this earth.
That's right.
I'm not like everybody else.
Amen.
If I'm like everybody else, then I'm the devil's kid and I'm a sinner. That's what majority of the people are. And I'm not. And you need to battle with yourself that you're not. Mm-hmm. Say about yourself. Speak about yourself. The giftings of God. You know, you might even not understand what works in you, what your gifts are. Well, talk like you got some because you do, whether you realize it or not. But you'll never find it walking around talking a bunch of other junk.
Amen.
I just don't know what I need to do. I just don't know. Well, that's right. You'll have what you say. You're going to live in don't know world. That's where you're going to go. The rest of you. I know Christians that have spent their whole life and I don't know. Mm-hmm. And they never came to knowing. Why? They said they don't know. And they kept saying they don't know. And they believed it so much, they never found out.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
That's right.
God reveals himself to me. Loves to do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Gave me the Holy Ghost to take what belongs to Jesus and show it to me. Hallelujah. Why would I say something else?
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk any other way. Talk like God is doing in you what he said.
Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is a teacher. He said he was going to come, guide you and lead you in all the truth. He's your comforter. Quit looking for comfort. You got the comforter living in you. I got the comforter. I'm going through a bad time, but I got a comforter. I got one in me. Say, what's he saying? I don't know, but he's comforting me. The Bible says so.
Amen.
He's comforting me. He's on my side. He's not working against me. Most people, most Christians don't think that the devil's working against them. They think God is. Ah, God, you know, he's trying to do this to me and that to me because, you know, I've done something, so he's going to beat me into submission. He don't work like that. Never has. The devil will beat you into submission by your mouth. He'll get you to cooperate with his ugliness, and you'll whoop yourself. Don't you do it.
Amen.
God's not like that. Hallelujah. God chastens us by the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can just sit down and look at the Word of God and say, oh my God, I need to get right about this.
Mm-hmm.
He don't have to beat me over the head.
Amen.
You know, and this is what we do. Most Christians live in a low level, and the reason they do, their negative thinking about things, they say God's good, but they don't really talk and live like God's good.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
He's great. He's fantastic.
Okay.
I lived under the slave driver.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't going back there, and I won't live in a Christianity that's in that place.
Amen.
Amen.
I ain't going to that place. I'm not going there. I was there. Hallelujah. God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's merciful to dumb people. I'm proof. See, I got a testimony. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. He's good to dumb people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, now that he's saved, I didn't become a genius. I just have a genius in me.
Amen.
And I just learned, listen to the genius in you. You'll just fool people. They'll think you're smart. They'll think you know something. No, the know-it-all lives in me.
Amen.
I'm not a know-it-all, but I have the know-it-all.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you do too.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we want to find something out. We go to Google. Why would you want to find out something with God? You got better in Google in you. Yeah. People don't. They'll run to Google. You got inside of you the knowledge of eternity.
Yes.
It's inside of you. You already have it. It's in there. So it's already inside of you. Have you, he said, ask and you shall receive. Do you ask or you just think that God's going to drop something on your head just because you need to know it? He don't. You ask.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, you're going to school, and the teacher get up and ask, anybody have any questions? And nobody says no, and half the class don't know at all what they were talking about, and they do need to know, but I wouldn't raise my hand because people think I'm stupid. Don't worry, they know you're stupid. Just, you know. Get over yourself. They know we're stupid. You haven't asked. If you want to know something, ask God.
Amen.
Just ask. He said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. See, many people are waiting around. If God wants me to know, He'll tell me. I'm sorry, the system don't work like that. There's nowhere in Scripture tells you that goes on. That is made up by religion.
That's right.
Of a false God, who, and they say it's Christianity, and it's not Christianity. And people walk ignorantly with God wanting them to know all kinds of stuff. But He makes us go after it. We need to know. You know, it's like Jesus, He gave the parable of the sower, and when He explained it, the Bible says, if you look at Luke, it says the disciples and the 12 came to Him and asked Him what thing was about. He said, it's for you to know, but those on the outside, He said, it's, you know, they're going to stay over there dark, they're not going to know. Why? Because they came and asked.
Mm-hmm.
See, He gave the same parable, never explained it. Only the ones that got the answer who came and asked.
Yeah.
It's for those who ask. And if you don't ask, you're going to walk in darkness.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Disciples are askers.
Amen.
Amen.
Disciples want to know what the Master's doing, what He's saying, what the disciple knows. The people. See, we have many people. The average Christian is not a disciple.
Preach.
They're not. They're not chasing after the Master. They're following their life, and when something goes wrong, then they're yelling for them, do something for me, do something for me. They're not following after Him. Hey, what do you want? You're the Master. What do you want? No, no, it's always, you know, Master, you follow me. What I want?
Mm-hmm.
See, it's being a disciple. The disciple's life is so darn rewarding.
Amen.
People think they're giving up something of themselves. You know, the best thing that ever happened was I gave up of me.
Hallelujah.
I didn't wait till the devil threw me under the bus. I chucked myself under. Said, God, let it run over me. I need to get out of me.
Amen.
And allow God. See, I needed somebody that was in control. Because, see, I was in control of my life and I wasn't doing well. And you got to come to that place. Is God, the changes God works in people, it's not for His good. He ain't got any problems. He's not sick. He's not having trouble. He didn't miss lunch. He's rested well. Everything's good. It's about us.
Amen.
Jesus died for you, not for Him. He didn't need to be saved. We did.
Amen.
And you know, I found out I go through my whole life needing saved. This salvation is for the eternity. It's not something that stopped one day.
Right.
One day I need it saved. No, I need salvation every day.
Amen.
We need it all the time. And it's such a great blessing. People say, well, you know, to be saved, you have to give this up or give that. I'm going to tell you what, I had to give up all my bad stuff that was killing me. Wasn't that awful? I had to give up everything that was ruining my life. But you know what? When I got saved, I didn't want it anymore.
Amen.
See, I don't believe people get saved and still want their bad life.
That's right.
I don't understand that salvation. I don't get that. Please let me have what's killing me.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to, you know, we got a Messiah. Let's treat him like he's the Messiah that he is. Hallelujah. He is the Savior of the world. God sent him to deliver us. But this one, he went along and he told, in fact, if you went to Mark, in Mark the 14th chapter and also in Luke 22, he tells the same story about him revealing himself to the Sanhedrin at the end that he was the Messiah. This is who he is. Now, he had asked the disciples in Mark the 8th chapter, he went to the disciples. Now, we find with the disciples get a revelation. Now, this is interesting. Just think of this. He didn't tell his disciples he was the Messiah. Can you imagine that? He didn't. And why? See, they're walking with him. Here's one thing as he knows. They're walking, followed him. God will reveal things to them. See, God will, you walk with God, God will reveal things to you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God will show you stuff. Why? You walk with him, you're going to learn stuff. You're not going to have somebody, you know, baby feed you all the time.
Amen.
Because you aren't going to know nothing. That's not the way it is. But in Mark the 8th chapter, in verse 29, with Jesus talking to disciples, he had asked them, who do men say that I am? And in verse 28 it said, so they said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets. So this is who it meant. People are out there, they're looking at him, they're measuring him against what they saw before. See, John the Baptist had been put to death, they say, well, he's John again. Well, he ain't John again, but John was here, he was here. Can you imagine people doing that? See, John the Baptist, you know, and, but see, you know, people are trying to label something from their minds, from their mental standpoint, what they think. Well, they said he was Elijah. In fact, Jesus told who the Elijah was. He said John the Baptist was the Elijah to come. Jesus said he was. So if they listened to teaching, they wouldn't have never thought that he was the Elijah. He wasn't. They said, well, he's one of the prophets. Well, he was a prophet. The Bible, the scriptures tell us he was. He was a prophet. Well, they recognized he was. But he says that he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And he said, Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. So then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about it. Don't you say anything. You imagine that? Could you imagine? Don't you tell anybody. See, what would we do? See, this is one of the things. Here's why we had to be led by the Spirit. We tell too much. God reveals sometimes. Just because God reveals don't mean you tell. The Bible talks about casting pearls before swine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not good to tell. And it wasn't from his standpoint. We'll look at this. Because we find also in Matthew in the 16 and verse 16 says that this Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus made this statement to him. Jesus answered, said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, he got a revelation from God. Peter had the revelation. God gave it to him. He didn't have to have Jesus tell him. God revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Messiah. So he knew that by revelation of God. And just like with you, God reveals to you. He put the Holy Spirit in you. He is the revealer of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is like with me. Jesus Christ is so real to me. He's, you know, people say, well, you know, Jesus is alive. Is he, you know what? Do you live in a revelation that he's alive? I'm not talking about, oh, I can quote a scripture. No. Jesus Christ is revealed in me alive.
Amen.
He's alive.
Amen.
He's alive. I know it.
Amen.
I know that I know that I know that I know.
That I know.
Amen. That I know that I know that I know did not come because I read a book.
Amen. Yes. Breathe. Amen.
See, the Holy Spirit revealed him and made him alive in me. I know he's alive. See, and you want to, that's where you want to be. See, what the John wrote, if you read the First John wrote about, and in fact, First John, how many times John says about knowing. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brother. He didn't say, I believe I pass from death unto life. He said, I know it. You see, one day I came and I believed on Jesus, but I passed from death unto life. I don't believe because the Bible says I'm saved. I'm saved because I know it.
Amen.
That's a level many people never go to. Christians don't go to. They still have to look back at the Bible to see if they're saved. I am the walking word of God, and you are too if you yield to the one in you.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You know. I know I passed from death unto life. Jesus Christ is alive to me. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't try to love. It's my nature.
Amen.
It's revealed in me.
Amen.
See, when people are trying to love somebody, love things people do bad, and they're trying to love, they don't want to go down and say, "Oh, little man, I tell you, I just keep wanting to go down and shoot him." You know, you got to say, you know, your feelings may want to go down and shoot him, but you know, I know on the inside, I can't go do that. I can't hold that against them. I can't. You know, you just got to go on. You know, you just, how do you do that? It's because of knowing, not because you're trying to keep a law. When you're trying to keep a law, you left knowing. And now you're just trying to do it by rote from a book. No difference than, you know, they got laws against murder, so I'm not going to commit murder because I don't want to go to jail. No, I'm not going to jail. Nothing got anything to do with it. I ain't going to murder because God's alive in me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not a murderer.
Amen.
See, we talk too much about who we are on the outside. Not who we are on the inside. Because the real us is... I've done numbers of funerals over the years. And you know what? We stick that stupid body in the ground, but people still worship that body in the ground and the tombstones and everything else. And that's... I'm going to go out to the graveyard to where the person is. They ain't there.
Amen.
You want to go out there? Don't. That's fine if you want to. But you don't treat it. They ain't around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I go out there and I talk to them. Well, why would you have to go to a certain place and talk to them? They're in heaven. If they're saved, they're in heaven. Why would you? Your thinking either puts you over or makes you earthly.
Amen.
Don't be earthly. I can talk to God anywhere. I don't have to have a special place.
Amen.
I have a special place where I meet God. Yeah, I do. It's called the earth. And any place I'm in it, God lives in me.
Amen.
No matter where. You know what? If I go to do something stupid, He's still with me. He goes along and watches stupid head.
Mm-hmm.
He don't leave.
Amen.
You know? I mean, people pray things. Christian, no. We're going somewhere praying. God goes with me in this. And I won't. I'll just stop and tell people. I say, I can't pray that. You're a Christian. He can't not go with you. In spite of your dumb, He's still with you.
Amen.
It's like, I mean, think about it. This is why we ain't got anything. When I'm going somewhere, you know what I do? I just thank God where I go, He's with me.
Amen.
I don't ask Him to go alone. He's there with me. Praise God, He's with me.
Amen.
We think that every day. You get up in the morning. You're not trying to come in contact with God. I mean, if you had, say, you know, Wanda lives in my house with me. I don't get up and try to find Wanda to contact her. But I bet you think about that. Think of the reality. God's inside of you right now. Right now.
Amen.
I'm not trying to find God.
Amen.
People talk about getting in the presence of God. I'm in the presence of God all the time. What I have to do is come in contact with that presence. And I can't do that talking like I'm trying to find His presence.
That's right.
Amen. Preach.
I'm not trying to find His presence. It's here. What I want to do is come in contact with it. And I learned this. It's what you say determines whether or not. What happens? Many people put themselves right into unbelief. They had right to, by saying the wrong things, put themselves into unbelief. The Bible says this plainly. Hebrews says that without faith you can't please Him. You can't talk different than the Bible and say you have faith. Faith is when we say what the Bible says. No matter what it looks like, it don't matter what it says. I don't know how I feel today, God's with me.
Amen.
It doesn't matter, God's with me. And I talk like He's with me.
Amen.
You know, if I want to know something, even natural, if a natural thing, and I'm doing something, and I want to know an answer to something, I'll just say, God, you know, Lord, I want to thank You. You're going to reveal to me and show me what to do in this situation. I don't know. Thank You. I might not have a clue what it is, but I will not talk different, and I will guarantee you every time the answer will come. It will come.
Amen.
It will. I have never been one time that the answer didn't come to me and what to do. Never one time. Why? I always talk the answer will come to me. Why? The Holy Ghost is in here to reveal. That's what He is. Is God a liar?
No.
He's not. But see, it's how you make your life to live and what you say.
Mm-hmm.
People need to be very careful. treat God like he's alive. I will guarantee you, you'll have 100 times more manifestations of God in your life.
Amen.
God manifests all the time to me.
Amen.
Manifests himself. Gives me revelations from the Word. Things that I sit down and I look at. This week, I've had a number of revelations of the Word. Your Lord showed me some different things. I'm thinking, I'm not even trying really to get it. It's just a matter of just fellowshipping with Him. And it shows up. And I'm not talking fellowship with Him. I'm just praying night and day and fasting. And I'm not. But I live all day like He's alive and real.
Amen.
Live like He's in me, and He likes to talk to me, and He likes to be around. You know, He likes to talk to you. He wants to be around you.
Amen.
He wants to fellowship with you more than you want to fellowship with Him. And you might think you have a real craving for Him, but His craving is much more. He sent His Son to die for you. What did you do? Yet He's after you. Live like that. Live like He's after you. Do you think He came to save you to sit back and watch you just stumble around in life? And
No.
See, live like that. Live like He's so after you and loves to hang around with you. He likes to be around with you.
Amen.
You know, I have days I don't like to be around me. But I know what He likes to be around. See, naturally you might. You might go through things and, you know. But He does. And amazing how He'll respond to you if you'll respond out of the inner man.
Amen.
And not by the flesh. Not by your circumstances around you. None of them matter. It's Him.
Amen.
You call on the name of the Lord, He'll save you. That's the Word says, call on His name. We need saved more than I just being born again. Man, I need this salvation all the time. I call on the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I face times of death. And I tell you what, I called on the name of the Lord and He saved me every time.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
See, we live like that. I just encourage you, you know, we have these things. Jesus needs to become to you. He is the Messiah. He is the great deliverer. That's who He is. That, you know, that's His ministry. His ministry is deliverance. And His never changes. He wasn't a deliverer one day.
That's right.
It's what He is all the time.
Amen.
You know, even in this world, you and I are fortunate. We have God in us. But God is present everywhere. If He's not, He's not God. He's not who the Bible says He is. He's present everywhere. Most people don't know that. You know, see, we've taught people, you know, you're trying to get a hold of God. We're trying to get a hold of pure Christian. We're trying to get a hold of heaven. I'm sorry, heaven has come.
Amen.
God's everywhere around you. Yet, to most people, and even most Christians, they're blind and deaf to it. Yet He's around them all the time. God's here right now in this place. Anything that you need or desire or want, it's right here tonight. It's right here. God's here.
Amen.
Healing, you know, somebody, well, the healing, is healing here? How could God be here and His healing power not be here?
That's right.
Does He leave that in heaven? He has a safe, He puts it in, and then He leaves and tell the angels, we ain't telling you the combination, you might get it out. So, we're going to leave it here, and I'm going to come down to the earth, and I'm going to be present with everybody in the earth. Now, just think, every sinner in this earth, God's present around them. We believe the devil's around. See how we think. God's present all the time.
Hallelujah.
God's not only present in me, He's present with me. See, you start living like that, and I'll tell you what, you might come to the conclusion He really does love you.
Amen.
Just that He loves all the people in the world. He's around them. They don't know it. They don't know it. They don't know. And Christians will preach a gospel to Him to make thinking like He ain't here yet. You need to get Him to come. You don't got to get Him to come. He's here. He's been waiting on you all the time. God was waiting on me 30 years. He was around all the time. All the time He was around. I didn't know it. Nobody told me He was. You had to become a special something for Him even to want to be near you. Jesus stepped down into this world where not one person was saved and walked among. Our stink don't bother Him.
Amen.
Just bothers us.
That's right.
And if we think right, we'll get rid of the stink.
Amen. That's right.
There's really what they call stinking thinking. And it is. It's thinking wrong. Hallelujah. This is good preaching. It makes me happy. See, I like to talk about how good God is. I mean, He's wonderful. There's nothing like Him. Hallelujah. I can just say that I owe Him everything.
Amen.
I owe Him. You know, I have joy and peace in life.
Yes.
And it's all because of Him.
Yes.
I know how to go through hard stuff and not quit.
Amen.
Man, I didn't know how to do none of that. I could have done none of that before. I know how to do that now.
Praise
I have somebody that I can trust. Somebody I can lean on to do for me what I can't do for me.
Amen.
I just do what he tells me to do, and then he does all the tough stuff.
Amen.
The stuff I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He's a deliverer. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you... God wants you to live a life of joy and peace. Because you're in a world that doesn't have joy and peace. But you can live in joy and peace. And you can be so confident of your future. Hallelujah. What are the people wondering, what happens if I die? I get to go to heaven. Isn't that awful? I get to go to a place where everything's beautiful and wonderful. Boo-hoo! My God, let's leave tomorrow.
Start the buses.
I can truly say this. There's people I know well, good Christians. I mean, wonderful Christian brothers and sisters who have passed away over time. And when they died, you know, I had good fellowship with them and stuff. And I often think, I'd like to go with them. I just really would. I'd just like to get out of here and go with them. It would really be nice. I know why Paul said it. He'd rather depart and be with Christ, which is far better. See, you live like God's real, and you think being with him would be a good thing.
Amen.
Too many people are tied to this world, and so they can't live well here.
Preach.
Live to where, while I'm here, I can live this life. I can be at joy and peace, and my time to go, I can just run off with a big smile.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. But see, that's our God, and I want you to get a hold of that tonight. This Jesus. God gave you a revelation just like he did other. God is in the earth today to give people the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. That's who he is.
Amen.
He's what the Bible says he is.
Amen.
That's right.
And see, we need to be able to tell people who he is. People say, well, who's Jesus? Well, he's the Savior. He's this, that. He's the Messiah. He's God's Messiah, the one the Scripture said that God was going to send. That's who he is.
Amen.
See, they use the term Christian. The word Christ, the Messiah. We're Messiahans. That's what we is. See, when they were called Christians, and we'll look at that scripture, they were called Christians, they were making fun of them. They were following after the Messiah. And see, the word Christians means they were actually disciples of the Messiah. That's who they were. They were disciples. See, people use Christians today, the word Christians, but they're not really followers. People who get to be Christians are never really followers of the Messiah. They don't really follow him.
Amen. Preach.
Getting saved don't make you a follower.
Preach.
A person gets saved and go to heaven and never really be a follower. Never really. They get born again. They'll go to heaven. But they never become a follower in him. I tell you, the blessing is being a follower.
Amen.
Amen.
You get wisdom and revelation from God. They'll open up things to you. There's things that I can see about eternity and into the future that God has revealed. Like, God gave me some revelations today about some things. And I sit and I look at them and I think, my, you know, the future. God's unveiling the future. Why? Because this is all we have we're going to. We're not going to the past. We're heading to the future. And you know what? God don't want you to go to heaven being dumb as a stick.
Amen.
He wants you to know what you're stepping into.
Yep.
He wants you to be longing for the glory he's prepared for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He wants you to get there and be able to enjoy it, not walk around and, you know, be like Gomer Powell. Golly. Who? He wants you to get there and say, praise God, just like I thought it's going to be. Hallelujah. Jesus is as good as everybody said he was. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So, let's live in that here, and let God, let this wonderful Messiah reveal His glory to you. Hallelujah.
You.
Makes a wonderful life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for your kindness to us, to reveal things and open things to us. Lord God, we know without a doubt, if it wouldn't be you working in us, it would just be us. And oh, what a shame that would be. Hallelujah. But we want to thank you, Lord God. You just take, as the Bible calls it, these vessels of clay. But what you have done to people in them is an absolutely marvelous thing. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for taking our vessel and making us into something. And Lord God, we are looking for that that day when this vessel will no longer be the clay jar. Hallelujah. It's going to be a changed, hallelujah, made into the same glory of the body that Jesus Christ has. And we thank you, Father God. Father, we look forward to the future with great hope and confidence, hallelujah, because you have wonderful things prepared for us. Lord God, you're going to reveal them to us here and give us the ability to invite others to go along with us, hallelujah, to Lord God, that they can share in the great glory, hallelujah, that you have made for all men, hallelujah. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.